This is Sean for EOT Newsflash, aka Busted Sleeves. Want to go and give a shout out to FlipsideGaming.com, our sponsor for this week's episode. Make sure to give them a visit for any of your collectible card games, Magic, Pokemon, Star Wars, Destiny, or other things such as apparel, board games, and graphic novels. It's definitely a great website. And if you use our promo code EOT Newsflash at checkout, you'll be sure to save yourself 10%. Now on with our show.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to EOT News Flash. I'm Justin, and I'm joined with Sean.
How's it going, man? Glad to have you back tonight.
I'm glad to be here. And with Steven as well.
Hey, guys. Looking forward to a fun weekend at OKC.
So we've got some pretty cool ideas that we're talking about with the Magic Arena beta coming up, some card design ideas, where the heck Alex has been, and GP OKC, and I'll pass it over to Sean to handle the rest.
All right, yeah. So as just said, we're gonna kind of dive more into what's going on in the community. Right now, Standard's stagnant, Modern's insane. So that's gonna be the smallest portion of what we're gonna be talking about. So we're gonna save that for the end. Wizards actually come out with pretty cool news that came out twice this week. There's two different segments of news that are really interesting. We're gonna start off. Our first thing that we had come up was Magic Arena. The beta was coming. They said that it was going to be coming out in December, and they have announced officially that as of Monday, December 4th, I think it was, they started rolling out their first set of beta entries. Now, everybody who got their first permission form to sign didn't get in yet, but they are rolling them out. So the first wave is slowly getting in to try to experiment with it. What have you guys heard about the Arena so far?
I don't know much about Arena, honestly. I've like watched a little bit about it, and I'm just really weirded out by the cards, like how they look.
So the card art or the text? About it weirds you out so much?
The boxes, like when you look at the how do I put it? When you look at the card box when they're on the battlefield, it just looks odd to me with it being like this tiny little square with the art and then the power and toughness. And then they give you like a little bit of an indication that something has an ability based on, you know, like the little lightning bolt symbol or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might just because I'm just so used to like looking at Magic cards and them looking a very specific way. And then when you hover over things, they have the weird like circle at the bottom of them. But then some cards look like the full square, like Walk the Plank looks like the regular, you know, Magic card. But then if you look at the preview that they show for Registrar Alpha, it has that weird circle at the bottom of it.
And yeah, it's just, I feel like there's some stuff that they're still tuning. Yeah, they're definitely still tuning some parts of it. Mm-hmm. I kind of like parts of it. I think one of the things that jumps out is weird to me, which it's because full art cards have been so much smaller in the game in the recent years, is mm-hmm. that one of the big keys of Magic, one of the things I enjoy so much, is how complicated the game can be and how much every game varies from the game that you've played all day. And mm-hmm. so I think whenever I look at these cards, it looks so simplified that I'm sure it's going to be good for new players. But for me, my first instinct is like, oh, it's dumbed down Magic. When it's not. These are all cards that are currently in Standard. But the lack of text box to me jump out because the text boxes have always been so massive, paragraph filled.
Mm-hmm.
But what
absolutely,
about, Steve. What is it? What about what they've released so far? Some of the trial images. Do you like so far as their designs?
Well, it's flashy, so it fixes the main problem Modo had.
Are you saying
really
people didn't enjoy watching Magic on Modo all the time?
Well, so it's good if you are a like diehard fan of Magic, or you know, like you understand the decks that the people are playing. But outside of that, Magic Online is really hard to follow. Whereas this, like, you have the actions like you do in Hearthstone, Eternal, Hex, like all those games. So it's something that people are familiar with because of the other, the other strategy card games that we've already had available on apps. So now that this is coming along, like, I'm hoping it'll be the best one. Obviously, you know, it's Magic based. The content is going to be fantastic. But, you know, if they nail it, we'll see. Modo hasn't been a good indicator of their technical prowess, but I'm willing to throw them a bone on this one.
So what about the gameplay features are you looking for, Justin? Like, not necessarily collections or any of the outside of the actual game, but whenever you're in the game, you're battling against an AI or somebody you know or somebody random, what from the game play control do you want to see that's might be similar to other games or hasn't been done yet?
I would really like to see. So there's another card game called Eternal. It's one of the like app slash computer card games, and it has a mode on it called Forge, where you do like the pseudo draft and you build a deck and then you go against a bunch of NPCs, and then the final fight, there's often a random modifier rule, like, you know, cards this time, you know, when you play a card, summon another card of a random cost or whatever. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's a really good way to build a collection as well, without having to get into the super competitive side of things until you, so you build up your collection so that you can then go into, you know, the more competitive sides. And I would hope to see something like that in Arena.
That sounds a lot like the Tavern Brawls that Hearthstone introduced, where it's... it's a fun style. The rules are a little bit different, and there's normally a reward every week. You get a boost back, or you get something. It's just a way to make the game a little different. Which, I mean, it could be a way for them to experiment with new multiplayer game ideas and other things that they can bring into it. I know personally, I'm really hoping to see, because one of the biggest things with Magic Online that I think knock it off on beyond the fact that it's information overload and it's very boring to look at, is also the amount of time it takes to watch it. So I would not be surprised if maybe these have best of one options and best of three options, but also a clock management system that is like almost like Hearthstone with a rope. It'll be a little hard to do at full Hearthstone level because they use less cards in their decks. Their cards are a lot simpler. Magic, unless they're reinventing the entirety of the game, it's not as simple, but something where the pace of the game is kind of forced to be sped up by if somebody's taking forever, they're losing their time. But then that also raises concerns about future card design, because what any cards they design moving forward have to be able to fit into their new idle pig of like what they're doing, assuming that this is what they stick with.
I don't think they should tailor the paper card game to Arena. Like, if a card is too complicated in paper for this, I hope they just make a different version. Like, I know that won't be like true to the testing. And I know that I don't think Modo is planned to be the standard or the standard testing ground. Like, I think they're hoping to get everyone onto Arena so, you know, they can make more money in other places. But, I think they would probably dumb it down for the app in order to help out, you know, the time or whatever is involved there. Well, I do not want to see them changing the paper game to accommodate for this. That would be very unfortunate.
I don't want to either. And that's where I don't think we're going to see a lot of the older cards, like your Doomsdays. They don't port to this game very well. Fetchlands, imagine Fetchlands in this. It's going to be a little harder to do. It's not much, but it adds a little bit of extra time.
Even Tutors now. Yeah. Like, it's going to be really interesting, like, how Attune with Aether is handled on this. I didn't watch the like, little bit, so I don't know if one was actually cast, but... You know, that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where, like, if they don't make the cards fit it, though, they look at League of Legends and Hearthstone and Dota and all these other games, like, look at all that money over a digital product. Like, so little overhead. And so I definitely think they want to push for this. And so I would not be surprised if, at least for the next couple of years, cards are more face value, which is what Magic went towards anyway, where it's less spell-based, it's more creature-based, everything... Like, think about all the recent sets where we had Coco Company, because it was all about creatures coming in and doing things. And so you're not really worried about spells. And so by doing that, that translates well to this game. And so whether or not Magic moves that path.
And I've got two more things. The first one is another thing that I hope to see, and that's shortcutting loops. So, for example, if you were to play the old version of... Abzan, Coco, where, you know, you go infinite with Kitchen Finks or Murderous Redcap, I mean, you probably just kill yourself by running out of time because you have to, like, click through all that stuff. So I would like to see some way to, like, you know, if you can demonstrate an infinite loop, it somehow shortcuts it. And then the other thing is with this, once again, going back to Eternal, there are actually a number of tutor cards and... like fetches. Like, for example, there's a one mana card called Seek Power, and you fetch a basic land out of your deck. and put it in your hand. And what they do is they just have a little like bar show up, and then all of the available cards for you to choose with that like pop up in that. So you don't see your whole deck. You just see those like 2 or 3, 5 cards, and then click it. And then they've got other ones that can tutor for more things, and you mm-hmm. can like scroll through them and whatnot. And they've done it very efficiently, where you can still, even though you have a limited amount of time per turn, you still have plenty of time to go through that fetch. So Magic Arena could have fetch lands and things like that in it without taking too much time.
Yeah, that's a good point. So moving into like what we can expect to see from the betas. I don't know about you guys. I know I got my email for the beta. I filled out my form, and I'm supposed to be one of the first beta testers. I haven't gotten the actual invite code yet for how to download it. But they sent me an email saying I'm part of the initial wave, so I should get one hopefully soon. There's not really any way to tell. And in there, they kind of explained what the beta is going to look like, and the beta is going to have, you're not going to get, it's just, it's what they announced. It's going to be Ixalan constructed. So basically it's, what was the format call where it's just the one set?
Block constructed.
It's basically block constructed. And they say towards the end of the beta testing, they're going to roll out drafting and collection, and how to get collections and build collections and adjust collections. But those are things later. So to start off, it's just going to be, which I'm kind of excited for, because block constructed means I could possibly play a pirate deck, whereas like I can't play pirates in standard very well right now. But I would love to play me some blue-black, blue-red like pirates, and I can beat up on some dinosaurs with some tempo pirates. I don't think I could do it. I really have beat up on energy with pirates. That's not happening.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's pretty exciting. They did say that they are going to eventually introduce the idea of collections, which raises the question: what, based off of what you've played before? My experience is mostly Hearthstone and Magic Online, and I know you guys have done Eternal and a few others. How do you want them to handle their singles and collection system? Like how do you want to get new product? How do you want to swap out product that you get that you don't want? Justin, I know you with Eternal, you were mentioning some of the ways to level up your cards. So what are some of the things you want to see them do?
Okay, so there, you know, once again, like the Forge was a great way where, you know, you draft the deck, you get to keep all those cards, you know, in those get added to your collection. But obviously I want to see drafting in Magic Online, and I don't want it to be like Arena in Hearthstone where you don't get to keep any of those cards. You know, if I draft a card, I want to keep it. I would like them to have some sort of system. Like, I really, really hate the whole pack dust system. I want to just be able to buy my singles. Please, if anyone at Wizards is listening, do not do the dust bullcrap. Just let us buy singles.
Well, the question with the buy singles, though, is I've played Hearthstone for a long time, and I've never spent a penny. And the only way I have the collection I have, it's still not as good as a lot of other people, is the dust system. So if they don't do a dust system and it's where you buy singles, where does the free-to-play, the F2P part, kick in?
Just use, you know, the same gold that instead of buying that pack that you would have with that gold, you know, just buy the card you want. You know, and that kind of goes against what Magic does, because Magic likes to pretend there's no such thing as a secondary market, and Magic likes to think that the only thing that people ever buy are, I mean, I know they know that there's a secondary market, but they like to pretend that everyone's just buying a bunch of booster packs. Another thing I'd like to see that I haven't seen in any other card game is trading. I mean, I know Modo has trading available, but both Hearthstone and Eternal don't have trading, and I think that's dumb.
Like being able to trade between players, cards or whatever. Yeah. Oh, you just have to be careful.
Sorry,
with
my
that.
Nose is
You're
a
open
little
up.
Stuffed.
No, I'm with you.
The only problem with that is you open up like the real world trading aspect to it. So if they're wanting to minimize the number of people who can just like get rid of collections and like get money for it, that'd be one thing to keep in mind. Also, if like someone's account got you know, like jeopardized, someone could just like lose their whole collection or something. So that's why I think like the solution for card games that are going to be on apps or like any digital card game, you should have a subscription option I mean, most games that you're playing on the computer and stuff like already have this system, so it's something gamers are used to. But like maybe do like $5, like $2 to $5 a month, and you unlock all the cards. If you don't want to pay that, you have the dust system to work with. So like let's say you play like a whole bunch of standard in the first 2 months, you like acquire the cards you want, then you can end your subscription if you want. And then once the next block comes up and you're just like, oh, I don't have these cards yet, here's like $2 for this month, I'll see if I can get those from the dust system, and then here we go. So it like gives you an alternative to get things quickly, so you don't have to just like spend a whole lot of time in the game, or you know, have to buy the packs. But I'm obviously like the cash cow is in buying packs, so I don't foresee them doing a subscription plan, as
No, it would be
unfortunate
nice.
as great as that would be. Yeah.
Yeah. I know
See,
as
my
far
issue with
as.
the
Go ahead.
my issue with the dust system is like I have like 12 different decks that I want to play in Eternal, and my Eternal collection is pretty extensive, so I can play about 8 or 9 of those. But there's three decks where there's like I need a playset of a random legendary that goes in no other deck. And you know it's like now I've got to like grind those out playing you know decks that maybe I don't want to play because I don't have the right cards for the deck that I do want to play, and that just really bothers me about a card game,
Yeah,
you know.
and I get that, and that part has always been frustrating. I don't know. I'm not opposed to not having the secondary market. As somebody uses the Mana Traders rental system, it would open up that possibility, which would be cool. But I get not. In general, I don't know. I do wish there was an option to unlock the entirety of all the cards available. And then if you have the ability to do that, then you can build and play anything. Now the question would be, so if you could unlock every card in standard, and they even expand it to modern, I can't see it touching legacy and vintage. Those cards are just too
I
complicated
don't
and
think
too
they can even
crazy.
touch modern, to be honest.
Modern would be real difficult. There's a lot of weird stuff in that one also. But assuming they do, if they transitioned and they gave us the ability to have all these digital card collections, what is that going to do to your paper collection? How much more likely are you to get rid of your bulk if you can play any standard deck you want to anyway, by getting on Arena? Is it going to actually impact your ability, your willingness to hold on to stuff, or are you still going to keep the drawers full of things? Justin, what about you?
I'll keep the drawers full of things because, like, so I love these online card games, but I like them for their ability to allow me to play card games and kind of, you know, the satisfaction that you get from beating or outsmarting an opponent. But I'm a very social player, and these games don't have that social aspect to it. Like, you know, some of them you have emotes, like Hearthstone and Eternal, you have like little emotes you can like customize and send back towards one another. But you know, like in Modo has the chat system, but I mean really that doesn't cover like you know the social aspect of the game. That's my favorite part of playing Magic. So I want to have all of these cards so that because every time that I have an opportunity to go play paper Magic, I go play paper Magic, not because Modo sucks, don't get me wrong, Modo sucks, but I play paper Magic over Modo more because I like socializing with people rather than sitting at my computer.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll play Magic Online to test for events. I'll play Magic Online when I want to stream, which I haven't done of in a little bit because I just haven't really had a lot of time. But and I'll play Magic Online if I'm just hanging around the house. But given the choice, I much prefer human interaction. Also, because my goal is to get to the Pro Tour, the online path to the Pro Tour to me isn't one that I'm as into. I know there's options, but I follow more the paper path to the Pro Tour. So I put a lot of some going and shuffling and having the dexterity skills I need to actually play a tournament correctly, as opposed to online where all my alerts pop up. Because I that's one thing with Arena and Magic Online that worries me is if I get too dependent on that for my testing as opposed to paper testing, that when I sit down at a tournament and I'm playing Dredge, that little icon doesn't pop up and remind me I have the option to dredge a card if I want to. Like, I gotta actually go, oh wait, this card is in my graveyard, I need to do this. Or I cast a Slaughter Pact on something and it comes passes my turn. There's not a prompt to pay for Slaughter Pact in real life. You got to remember to pay for Slaughter Pact in real life. So I don't think I would cut mine drastically, but I've already cut mine down somewhat drastically. I've got a little bit better about not keeping cards I don't think I'm ever going to see play. I don't need a 3-mana lightning bolt. So I'll cut those cards out. But Steven, like, are you going to actually shave any cards in standard? Or because I know you already are really big on the rental systems in general.
Yeah, so I haven't bought... I've only bought a card at the start of a set because the person who I was looking to borrow the stuff from didn't have them. And, like, I will get a couple of the key cards in order to be able to, like, exchange them and be like, look, like, I have these chase rares people needs. Like, for instance, I have 8 hostage takers just in case, like, people need them. It's just like, all right, look, like, here we go. Like, I can give these out. Like, can you, like, help me with this? So I'm trying to expand my collection only in the sense that I can help other people borrow things and I would like to borrow as well. So it's like this little exchange system in paper. Like, I haven't bought in a pack in forever. But I don't know. Like I guess I'm hoping
Arena. I Hearthstone for me has just been this casual game. So I'm really excited for the beta.
Yeah.
It's something I just do whenever I'm bored and I have nothing else to do. It gives me this sense of accomplishment. I'm hoping Arena becomes something a little bit more serious for me that's going to let me test a lot. But I also don't see it replacing the paper Magic, and that's something I hope Hasbro and Wizards keeps in mind. Is a large number of their players have no intention for this game replacing paper. So if the game changes because of it, like we had talked about earlier, or if they start moving away from heavily supporting paper and paper tournaments because, oh, Arena's so great, that a lot of these people who are playing Arena and giving them that viewpoint might not stay with Arena if it's not supporting the paper game that they enjoy so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest thing with Arena is Wizards is going to have to be careful how hard they push it on the competitive scene, because if they open up Arena to have Paths to the Pro Tour alongside with Magic Online and like paper, and they like make a heavy push to emphasize Arena over like the just like in-person events, then you're gonna have this weird like couple months where like everyone's gonna just be playing Arena, and it's like, well, why do I need to go to a GP? Like, I can just like stay at home instead of driving 45 minutes. Like, you're going to cut out a lot of the casual crowd from the GP because it's like, why do I want to go here and spend like $90 to $100 because the GP prices are going up, you know, thanks to the monopoly we have. And it's just like, I think they can have the balance of the three systems and it'll be great, but they just have to be careful of how hard they're pushing one over the other. And I don't think you'll ever be able to replace paper Magic. Like you guys are saying, like the social interaction is just too important. And like being able to see people's expressions is great. I mean, obviously people are going to be able to stream, but like that moment when you can like exchange glances with your opponent, like you don't have to say anything. You can just be like, oh yeah, I'm screwed. Like you got this, like sweet. And you just like extend the hand. Like there's that like small little exchange that you're just not going to get in paper.
Yeah.
And it's those moments that make Magic.
The qualifications come away from Moto to go to Arena. Definitely don't want any qualifications going away from paper to go to Arena. And I still would hope they follow, at least to start, the Moto map path of like qualifications are at very specific times, once or twice a week. It's not really easy to qualify for. One person is qualifying. And that way, we're still moving away from it. But I mean, who knows? Maybe conspiracy theory for another episode. We don't have time this episode. But maybe the reason all these prices for GPs have been going up, and the reason all these, you know, everything's been so hard to get to and they're cutting back on supporting other tournament organizers is because they're going to kill all the GPs anyway for Arena. Who knows? Maybe that's what it all was.
I honestly think if they do that, Magic will die, because I think Magic has missed this window so hard. Like if Magic came out like if Arena came out 6 months to a year after Hearthstone, I think it'd be fine. And it would have been established like in this app, like marketplace that we have of like games that, you know, develop people's time. But now you already have things like Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, Hearthstone, I guess, I don't know, Candy Crush Saga and all those games are still being played as heavily. But you have these games that people are used to and they're comfortable playing. And like pushing into this scene with something as complex as Magic is going to be hard for them because of how established other simple games are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think it's a lot of that also just the bitterness. Like if paper magic died, you would have all these magic players who have thousands of dollars, some of them way more than thousands of dollars of paper collection, and the way they're going to look at it, because magic players aren't always the most reasonable, they're going to look at it as a hey, you guys have taken away my paper collection's value for this digital collection, and that's what's going to suck.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end, we're only holding on to like very small pieces of cardboard. So, I mean, it's just like if suddenly like baseball cards or like, you know, football cards, anything like that, just suddenly lost their value. I mean, it's just tough luck. And yeah. I honestly hope it never happens, because I mean, I also have like a good chunk in Magic, but it's just don't get rid of the paper. Like, you just can't. There's too much of that social. Like social relief, really. Like for me, just being able to go out, have a good time with a complete stranger, and then like maybe like that blossoms into a sweet friendship. Like that's great. Like one of my favorite experiences with Magic. Sorry, real quick. At GP Vegas this year, my last round opponent for the Legacy GP was from Brazil, I believe. And at the end of our match, he's like, "Hey, would you go ahead and sign my playmat? I'm collecting." This guy was playing yada yada. This guy was playing this. This person was pretty cool. He was on this. Like, it's just those moments that make it so special.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's. I think losing that personal aspect, which is a huge hit to the desire to actually play the game. It's part of the big part of the hobby is the work that I have to put into it, but also why am I doing it? What am I getting out of it? And so I think that would be a major, major blow to the game itself. So
yeah.
speaking of the game though, Wizards also announced, beyond starting our beta for Arena, they started the rollout for announcements and information on the Great Designer Search 3. So this is something I've never seen them do it. This is the third time they've done it, but the other two times were either when I wasn't paying attention to what Magic was doing or before I even started playing. But it's basically a series of trials in which they're going to have people who compete write essays, answer multiple choice questions, and it'll be a big series of steps that they're going to go through where they're going to whittle down from everybody who wants to enter all the way down to a set of people who are going to eventually compete. I think they said 3 people or 8 people are going to go to Wizards and compete for a 6-month internship as a designer for Wizards of the Coast, helping them design cards moving forward. I know I signed up and I think I Justin did. Steven, did you get to sign up for this thing?
No, I don't think that I could fit that in the career path I'm taking. I'd love to. It'd be a lot of fun, but it's just not in the cards for me.
Yeah. The way I see it, it's going to be a lot of fun, whether I get offered the position or not. I'm mostly excited about the ability to just compete in this more than anything else.
Yeah, designing cards and stuff is like pretty sweet, and I really enjoy like the custom Magic like subreddit, and then anything that Robo Rosewater pumps out, like just some of the like really cool and absurd ideas that people or machines now can come up with. It's just really neat to just like, oh yeah, that hasn't been done. That's actually awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a dream of mine to design a set for a long time. A few years back, I designed like 10 or 15 cards into a set, and my goal was, I was teaching a friend to play at the time, and he didn't understand that there were like different phases and different and how the stack worked. And so I was like, I'm going to design the most complicated possible system for you to play Magic ever. And so what it turned into was like, it had like stack manipulation where there were spells that could move other spells to different priorities on the stack. So you could leapfrog around counter spells. There were spells and creatures that would, all the spells would have an effect where you get something and they can maneuver a spell on the stack, but then also you could like phase things out for random portions of the game. And so it's like, you would play a creature, this creature would leave the battlefield, and then return to the stack at the beginning of the next main phase, or return to the stack at the
Interesting.
beginning of your opponent's next instep and stuff like that. And it also would like it feel it played a little bit with some split second style effects that I hadn't fully worn out through. Like it wasn't fully split second because that would be really powerful in a set that was designed to manipulate stacks, but it was a split second where you had to meet this requirement by playing spells with certain keywords or a certain number of spells before you could actually take part in the stack going on. So like you play a spell, I play a spell that locks you out of it unless you are able to play two back-to-back instants, and then now you can partake in the stack again. It was like it was really weird. Or cards that gave you rewards for playing them in different parts of the phases. Rewarded a player if you played the second main phase, you gained 3 life. Something
You
really
mean
small
like
and easy.
raid?
Huh? Yeah,
Like
like raid,
raid?
but like there's literally no other there's no other aspect to it. It was just play in the second main phase, you gain some life. Because my friend would never play second main phase. He would always
Fair
just like
enough.
untap, slam his creature main phase one, go to combat and pass. And I'm like, dude, you're telling me that I don't have to worry about anything else anymore when you do this. So I was like, here's a card. If you just don't be dumb, you get 3 life. Well, you're
But
welcome.
keep in mind, like, if you're not familiar with card games, like, why would you wait? It's just
No.
something that they're not used to, and
Yeah,
it's just
but
something you gotta iron out.
this was months of trying to teach this kid. And like even like I even at one point had like written down all the phases and stuff, and I had explained it multiple times, and he still was just slamming them. I'm like, and he wasn't a kid. This was a friend. This was one of my employees at the store I was running. And I was like, so we were sitting up there when it was a slow day playing, and I'm like, you're killing me right now. I just want you to understand, like you're really killing me because I
Well, if he
love
was attacking
timing
with
of
creatures, that's
spells.
correct.
He was trying to kill me,
Yeah.
but I love timing of spells. I was like, oh my gosh, so. There's not much information coming out on this competition. The same, I didn't get a chance to mention Arena. I did get an invite, like I said earlier, but we are not gonna be allowed to say anything about Arena until they officially lift the ban. So you're not gonna be able to talk about anything. With this one, it's gonna be similar. So if you sign up for it, you won't be able to talk about any of the test questions or essay questions they give you, until the day after the final due date to turn that stuff in their rules. So you can actually like if we partake in it, if they release the thing on a Tuesday, it's due on Wednesday. On Thursday, when we record a show, we could actually talk about what was the last question, what did we put, how did we read it? Because I'm sure it's gonna be with all the people taking part, it's gonna have some weird aspects to it. But you're
Oh,
gonna be able
okay. So are
to.
you wanting me to go ahead and sign up so I can participate in that episode?
I mean, you don't have to, but it'd be cool if we could
No,
all talk
it's,
about
it sounds
our
like
answers
fun.
and whatnot.
No. Steven, don't
I'm
sign
ready to
up.
form this podcast
No, no.
competition. Let's
No, no.
go.
Steven, you don't sign up because then that way that gives us somebody to pose the question to and you get the little
I get a
reaction time we
judge?
get. No.
Ah,
We
okay.
get
Oh,
it.
no. I gotcha. I'll do it
Yeah.
live.
Yeah, so it's like, okay,
Okay,
so
okay,
here's
okay.
this. I want you to for like so that for the essay question, you're not gonna write an essay on the show, but if you're not planning on taking part in this competition
I'll
anyway, now
just
it's
wait.
just a you get to give us an on the spot response.
Okay.
Because it doesn't sound like they're giving people much time to filter through all this stuff. Because with an open competition, they've got to have like some real cutthroat rules to cull the herd.
Yeah, probably like 5 minute timers
They
on
have
for
you
sure.
read the trials, like the information on the trials yet? May you be
I read there
or
was essay prompts, and I read that there was multiple choice questions. I haven't really read it all in detail. I just was like, yeah, I'll sign up,
Oh,
whatever.
okay. Well, so contestants will have for the first one, it's 10 essay questions, answers between 250 to 300 words in length, and you get 1 week to do it. And
Yeah.
then everyone who completes trial one, everyone who actually does it, goes on to trial two. However, on trial two, it's going to be a multiple choice test, and they're essentially taking the top 100 approximate candidates.
Yeah.
And then
So
John,
it's
I'm
kind
really
of in
intrigued.
reverse. 'Cause like so basically their parent won't even look at these essays until they get the top 100 people from the multiple choice question. The essays are solely there to be like,
To
hey,
see if they want to put in the
you have to
effort.
write all these papers in 1 week. And a lot of people are gonna be like, ah, oh, no, never mind, I'm out on that. And the first one they get to that's weird, they're gonna be
Paper
like,
is like
oh,
three
this is silly.
paragraphs.
It's not much, but you have to do a big chunk of them. And I'm sure they're gonna be pretty complicated concepts.
Yeah. And then number three is going to be designing actual, well, not actual Magic cards, but theoretical Magic cards. And they break down like how they're going to judge. So it's like 30% for creativity, 20% for design aesthetic. Knowledge of magic is another 20%, and then originality, which I feel is the same thing as creativity, is another 30%.
No, because like, so creativity could be like, the way I would read that is I could take a card that's already designed and design it in a way that is a different way. So I'm not like, it's not a vanilla reprint, but it's also not creative because it's like, oh, well, we've seen that effect. Mana dorks with different restrictions are creative because they're giving restrictions, but mana dorks themselves aren't original.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
And so, then you could do the Exert land we talked about like way back when.
The Exert Ancient Tomb?
Yeah.
So that would fall under creativity, but also still not originality.
Yeah, because you're using Ancient Tomb and the Exert mechanic.
So they're also going to be looking for, are you giving abilities that have already been mechanics and you're just not putting that mechanic's name in there? So if I say, I tap this, it does this extra effect, it doesn't untap, they'll be like, oh, well, that was a creative way to do it. We're taking off points from originality because that's just the Exert mechanic and we want you to design something new.
But keep in mind, they do that in sets
knowledge of magic a little bit.
I'm sorry, Justin?
That also falls a little bit into the knowledge of magic thing as well, because if you're just designing mechanics that are ripoffs of other mechanics, that either shows that you're not that creative or that you don't know magic well enough to recognize that that's already been done.
Well, not necessarily, because there's a lot of mechanics they've done that are similar to previous mechanics, and it's just that you're improving them or attacking from a new way. So you're going to have a creative option, but not an original option. It could be similar to, there's been a few mechanics recently. There was one mechanic, and I can't remember what it was, but it was just awful. There was like a 7-drop green creature that came in with a bunch of 1/1 counters, and it was just, I can't remember what it was. Man. I'm bad at mechanic names. But it was similar to the Kaladesh block one where you get servos. But it was, instead, like, it only gave counters. Like, you could put counters on itself or put counters on everybody, and, like, those are your two choices or something along those lines.
And had Mikaeus the Lunarch that does something like that.
No, it was, like, a
white guy. He's the X-Y guy? Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Oh, was it Grafting?
Maybe it was Grafting.
Because that's the +1/+1 counters instead of, like, power toughness typically. And when a creature enters, you have the option to graft to it. The only problem with that is it also triggered on your opponent's creatures, so it could be kind of annoying.
Yeah. So they're going to look at you. You can probably take an old mechanic and fix it and adjust it, but they will just hit on originality. They'll give you the creativity. But so in the flavor of this show, we don't know exactly how they're going to format all these questions. We don't know what they're going to give us. I know at least two of us that are brave enough are going to take part in the competition. Other people are going to just sit around at home and watch TV.
Or play PUBG.
And same thing. When you get killed and you watch these other people continue playing, you're great job. But in that same vein, I'm
not the first to die.
What?
Continue. Sorry. Because
you hide in the trees. Not a PUBG podcast. This is all the way Steven lets me down. But I've always wanted to design cards. So something I've wanted to do on the show before, and now we have a good reason to do it. We're going to start doing card designs on the show. Don't know. It will probably take turns and have different people think of different card restrictions. I don't know the way they present a card idea, so this whole competition is going to shed a lot of light on it. But until then, we're going to try to design a card every week, and we're going to give ourselves some restrictions. So our first example, and we're typically not going to find out what the card's restrictions are, what the design template is, except for roughly 24 hours before the show, maybe less. And that way, we have a very small window to design a card, just first raw design, because it's not going to be perfect. So kind of jump in, give us an example of what we're doing. I created our first one. Our first requirement is you are going to create for me a red creature. And the red creature is going to have a few restrictions of what I want to see. Sometimes I'll have set flavor that's going to be important. Does graveyard matter? Does it not? In this one, I just want it real basic. I want this creature to have an early game presence that is aggressive in its stats. So its cost and stats are aggressive. I want it to have a text box that says it must generate neutral card digging. So we're going to see more cards, but not generate extra cards in our hand, and we're not counting the actual creature himself towards that count. So we want to stay at zero, maybe negative one, something along those lines. But where we're digging through it, think of looting, like red looting or whatever. I'm discarding the drawing, or blue actual true looting. I'm drawing the discarding. So I want to see a lot of digging through our deck, but we're not actually drawing and gaining card advantage. But because I want to see a card that is aggressively cost and aggressive stats to be a good beater, I also want it to have a penalty to set it back for the fact that it's fixing our draws while still attacking our opponent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any clarifications we need?
Does it have to be mono red?
So this one's going to be red. It's got to be...
So it can't be red-blue or red-green or whatever?
I'm open to it. This is our first shot. So yeah, normally... Well, moving forward, we will give us a specific color because color pie is very important. In my mind, I was saying red, but I never conveyed that. So yeah, let's do... We can do multicolored, but it has to have red in its color.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good? Anybody have any ideas yet that they're bouncing off already? Justin?
Yep. Okay. I'm thinking a red, blue, 3/2. When it attacks, you can discard a card and you'll flip over reveal cards in your deck until you reveal a card with equal mana cost or less than the card you discarded. And you'll put that card into your hand. And you'll take one damage for each card revealed this way. Put those revealed cards on the bottom of the deck.
So I was with you until the damage part. The damage part is mean. So we also want to like critique and say, okay, so if this is our design, how are we going to make it better? So two paths I could take it on. That at first, man, that sounded really cool. A 3/2, you can easily trade with him. You can kill him. He's a 2-drop. His mana is very constricted, so he's not easy to cast. But a 3/2 for 2 is going to be aggressive. What about for the penalty is whenever he attacks, you discard a card, you reveal, so it's the same effect, but either all non-equal cards go to your graveyard, so you're milling yourself, but that also is a resource for some decks. So if you want to do something instead of that, all non-land cards revealed that are a different cost deal one to you.
Okay. It's
probably a lose life, so that way you can't give yourself protection or something.
Because I play a lot of graveyard manipulation decks, I considered putting the cards in the graveyard a benefit more than a penalty, especially with it being in red-blue because Snapcaster exists in that.
I guess it could be exile instead of graveyard. Yeah, because graveyard and with delves and things like that, that's pretty strong, but...
So I went with the damage because of that, and I was thinking that the damage wouldn't be that bad because if you discard, like, say, a 2-mana, you know, it's like it's a very Delvery-esque effect.
Yeah, but if you discard, like, a 2-mana spell or a 1-mana spell, and you flip 10 lands.
I guess that is...
If the lands are allowed to hit you, then you just took 10. Like,
yeah.
We want a setback, but we want to still make them playable. So on future ones, we also will give it a rarity, because that helps us kind of get a scope. We're learning as we go. This is our first shot at it. We had the idea this afternoon while I was paying attention to a meeting. So, Steven, what do you have? Do you have any modifications to that card, or you got a brand new idea?
Okay, so you said it had to be a red creature?
Has to have red in its color.
Okay, it has to be red. Okay.
Yeah, ideally mono red, but because we're still figuring out the rules, it's open.
Okay, so this will be a little bit different, and it'd go in something like Dredge, I think. It'd be kind of cool. One red, cumulative upkeep, we'll do pay 2 life. Then it's... whenever an age counter is put on this card, draw a card equal to the number of age counter, or draw and then discard a card equal to the number of age counters on this card. So it deals damage to you the longer it's in play. So for 2 life, you'll like loot once. Maybe it should be pay 1 life. But then that kind of gets like good once you get to 3 or 4. I don't know how that would actually scale, but this does seem pretty interesting. But yeah, so it'd like just help you like churn through your deck, and like in a red deck where Like you might be out of gas. This would be a way that punishes you for playing it, but it also get you to the cards that you really want to play. And whether or not you want to use a graveyard synergy like Dredge, or if you're just like trying to get the like last few points of damage, maybe you could also have like an activated ability for like 6 mana, deal damage to your opponent equal to the number of age counters on this. Maybe something like that.
Okay.
So just like a quirky enchantment that's probably not going to see play, but has a neat effect.
Okay, that makes sense. So my first instinct was to attack Burning Inquiry on a creature, but I want to have I really enjoy. I would love to see a little bit more random in the game of Magic, even though I know it's not popular from the competitive standpoint. So my design was one in a red for a 2/2. So we have a 2-drop Grizzly Bear, right? It can be aggressive. It's not lighting anybody on fire, but it does a thing. And when it comes into play, you're going to roll a 6-sided dice. You draw that many cards. Then you roll another 6-sided dice. You discard that many cards at random. And then you lose your lot. You lose life equal to the combined dice roll, half of it rounded down. So if I roll a 6 and then I roll a 4, I draw 6, discard 4 cards at random, lose 5 life. If I roll a 1, then roll a 1, I draw 1, discard 1 at random, lose 1 life. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's a 2-drop Grizzly Bear that we're not planning on anything. Who knows? Maybe my draw is higher, but you also could roll a 1, draw 1 card, roll a 6, discard 6 cards, and then you lose, that's combined 7, so you lose 3 life. So you discarded 5 cards and lost 3 life. So that's not great, but has the potential for a payoff.
I don't think I would ever play that card.
I think if you changed it to where it could remember the stack of cards that it drew, that might be better. So, like, if you draw 6 cards from those 6 cards, you would randomly discard 4 of those. So that way it doesn't, like, punish the crap out of you if you roll worse on the second one. And that way it doesn't feel quite as bad.
What about,
like, if you just, like, whiff real hard.
So what about you roll your 6-sided dice and you discard cards equal to half that number rounded up, and then you lose life equal to that number. So, you lose life first.
Yeah, I'd actually like that.
So if I roll a 5, then I lose 5 life, I draw 5 cards, and I discard 3 cards at random.
I think...
Ooh, maybe that's a little high on the life loss.
Well, I think what I would have done is set it very wonkily, but roll 6-sided dice, put that many cards face down in front of you, and then roll a second dice and pick a number of cards equal to the dice rolled, and those go to the graveyard, the rest go to your hand. So that way you don't see them, so it's still the random discard part, and then the cards that... So like there's a chance that all of those cards that go, right in front of you face down, go right to the graveyard and you don't touch them, but your hand is never going to just like get wrecked because of that. And then... it's like sometimes it does something crazy like draw 5 cards.
Yeah, I mean, that could be sweet. What about, here's one more and then we'll move on. We're going to do this. I like this. I think this is fun. So if people like it, I would like to do this every week. But what about this? If it's 1 red mana and you get a 3/3, all right? So we got some value coming in, right? You roll a dice. You draw that many cards, and then you discard that exact number of cards at random, and you lose life equal to the number of cards in your graveyard. So basically, since he's a 1-mana 3/3 that bends a lot of cards for you, that would be really good in decks that want your graveyard big. So
I think that's too good.
No, I don't know. For Dredge. As a 1-mana 3/3, he might be too good, because a 1-mana 3/3... I would play that dude in Death Shadow, because then I'm bidding 3 cards that I can double away for a Grimmag Angler, and I'm getting a 3/3, and I'm losing life to make my shadow. Never mind. Okay, that card's bad.
I actually think that it would be too good.
Yeah, I agree. I convinced myself. At first, I was like, oh,
so
no.
So many decks would utilize that, because like Insula Nihilate immediately gets replaced in Dredge in both Legacy and Modern. Although I don't know if Neonate's being played in Legacy.
No, Neonate doesn't get replaced, because Neonate is you discard.
Is you discard, then draw.
And then draw, but and you get to choose
the
your discard.
You could potentially... Yeah, but the...
So the problem with the card is that it's too good turn one, and it just kills you turn 10.
But there's a lot of red cards that do that. What if you have aggro red cards? When designing aggro red cards, that's
instead
a 2/3. Yeah, that could be fine. But like, so like, when you design an aggressive red card, he kills you turn 10. But also true aggro red decks on turn 10, if they're playing a 1-drop 2/1, that's also killing them because it's not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean,
this one's just more obvious what it's doing. This is to teach players that your 1-drop red aggro creatures aren't that good on turn 10. Like, you want to play them early. It's more of a lesson.
I mean, really, in Dredge, like, it kills you on turn 3, probably.
But you want to be able, that's the reason you can't play him in Dredge.
Yeah.
Especially because he's an ETB in the battlefield. I can't wait to Immercool Promise into you when you play this card, and I'm going to make you cast into your Dredge matchup. Like, I'm slamming two of these. What's going to happen? But, I mean, I don't know. It's fun. I don't know if any of these cards are that good. I definitely think that last one is either a home run or trash, and I don't know which, but it's one of them.
I don't know. If you adjust the penalty on the card I suggested, I think it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, I think the penalty on the card you suggested, I think that would be like a realistic uncommon that you could see get played. Because it involves you discarding a card, and it involves you... And like... If they were afraid of it being too good, you could even tack on an effect where it's like, when he attacks, the cost is to discard a card, and then put in the text box, he has to survive the ability resolving for the effect to happen. So like, there's a detriment of like, I'm gonna attack for his cost, I discard this card. If you respond and kill him, I don't get the effect. That's one thing they don't do a lot of in Magic, where.
Like, if this is still on the battlefield, do yada yada.
Yeah.
Like, discard a card if this is still on the battlefield, yada yada.
Yeah. So that kind of design window hasn't really touched a lot.
Hashtag feels bad, man.
Yeah. I think I figured out the penalty. The penalty to make that card good. You lose life equal to the CMC of the card you discard.
Ooh, no. I still think that's good. Because the CMC, so like your example was it's a Delver deck. So like your CMC is real low. And so now it's letting these Delver decks like filter away bad cards. He does have to attack so he could just die. But he gets to filter away bad cards to try to find other options. And you have to keep in mind that like madness spells and things like that are a thing. So
yes. So
I discard a Fiery Temper. I lose 3 life. I get to shoot you with the Fiery Temper. I get to replace Fiery Temper.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I think your punishment has to be to do with part of it is every design we've talked about has a little bit of randomness for the most part. And I think that's the nature of red looting, is that part of your punishment should be how lucky are you? Like that's really what I want to see. Like, I'm gonna roll these 2 dice. I might draw a couple extra cards. I might discard a lot of extra cards. I might lose a lot of life. I might have nothing happen. I draw 1, discard 1. I lose 1. Nothing. This was a waste of time. That's where I want to be at. Like that. When I think of this card, because I want it to be on a creature whose body is going to be castable, and you're going to be turning him sideways already anyway. And so you just have this extra randomness effect that might be awesome or might suck. But it's an aggressively costed creature. So
I think we need a seasoned red mage to come make a decision on this.
No, we don't want to invite seasoned red mages on this thing. All right, I'm learning to be a red mage, and what I've learned is you don't want to invite those people into your home. They're all so grumpy, and I can say it because most of them won't be listening because they're just going to be grumpy about something. So we have said something earlier that the seasoned red mage is like, those morons, they're going to have already closed it.
It was my enchantment bit. That's what it was.
I will say, I think you're right about the seasoned red mages being the grumpiest of Magic players, because every time someone's told me that they're quitting the game after losing a match, it's been someone playing Burn or some other heavy red deck.
They wear their hearts on their sleeves. We can't fault them for it.
They're very passionate people.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna continue doing this weekly. Hopefully people like it. If not, then we can stop doing it. I would prefer not. My vote is no, and really that's all that matters. But we will continue doing card
Hey
designs.
now, we're co-hosts.
Oh no, I'm mandating that this thing's gonna happen. This
Oh,
is
okay,
sweet. But we will. I'm completely in on making the parameters for us. If you guys have a parameter that you want to go with, just let me know. If the fans listening be like, oh, you need to design a card like this, let us know. We'll tell you
I
how to reach
would
us at the end of
love
the
to get
show.
some fan submissions.
Yeah, give us some parameters. We're gonna make the parameters a little bit more strict moving forward, and that way we get really difficult designs. But keep in mind color wheel, which I did not. Keep in mind the pace that you want the card to have effect. The what do you want it to be doing as far as do you want it to be in an aggressive deck or a slow deck, and text box. We will probably not. I no, we'll. I will eventually do a vanilla challenge. Design us the most amazing vanilla creature that's realistically designable or something, but we'll get into all these a little bit later. So
It's
moving
just the flavor
forward,
text of Avacyn's Collar.
exactly.
The unabridged version.
What was that abridged version?
Oh, it's pretty long. It's like Avacyn's Collar, the symbol of her church, is hated by like all the werewolves.
Oh,
I'll link it to you later.
okay, yeah, all right. So moving forward, one of our last big topics is we down here in Texas have Grand Prix Oklahoma City approaching. It is this weekend. I know that I'm going to be there. Whether or not I'm going to be there and be successful, those are two totally unconnected conversations. I know my man Pierce is going. Justin, were you gonna? I couldn't remember if you said you're looking for a room, right?
I'm kind of, so I want to go. It's just a question of there's some certain things that have to align for me to go. And if I do go, I will be playing Ally Mill.
I hope you go. I wish you the best. I hope you go. Do you have two buys?
I have one buy.
Okay, I hope you go. I hope you win a lot of games. I hope you lose match round two, so that way I don't have to worry about playing against you and worry about any headaches. And outside of that, best of luck. Best of luck. Just don't be 2-0 and roll this dice of 1 in 500 paying against me. Pierce, I know you're gonna be there, and I know
It's
that.
okay, we'll play round five.
Yeah, I know. We'll play round five, and everything will still fall apart for myself, and then you'll follow me because you don't know how to carry a torch. And so,
Ouch.
I know that both of us have been testing a lot. I've tested a decent variety of decks, not an insane number, but a few different decks. I want to know how your testing's going. How are you feeling about Grand Prix Oklahoma City in this modern format that is very safe and stable?
It's a giant question mark. So I wanted to pick up Lantern. Played a couple rounds. Didn't feel good with it. Like I've had experience with it previously, but I know it's super powerful. I just don't think I was doing it right. And it just wasn't something I wanted to like sit through a tournament whenever I think there's going to be a lot of control as well.
Yes.
And also people play slowly. So I'm going to either play turns with the Giga Draws Exhaustion variant because I think that's better right now because you're going to see more creature decks. So Exhaustion is just naturally better against creatures. And then my backup to that is Grizzle Shoal because I also think graveyard decks are pretty strong right now because people are skimping on their hate. It'll probably come down to Friday night as to which deck I'm going to be playing. So.
Well, while you're doing your testing, let me know how that graveyard hate's looking. I've tested a pretty wide range. I've been trying to narrow it down. I've tested Affinity, I've tested Lantern, I've tested Blue White and Jeskai Control. I need to test this some Eldrazi. I tested Eldrazi Tron the other night, and I went 4-1 with Eldrazi Tron. I think I was salty because in round one I drew, what was it? Between maps and everything else like that, I had like four spells to like 13 lands. And I lost my first match in on the league, and I went 4-0 the rest of the matches, but I was just so angry. And then I played Affinity, and I played a two competitive leagues, and I played 10 straight Grixis removal dot decks.
Wow.
So nothing feels good. The format feels awful. Life has no meaning. So I don't know for sure what I'm gonna play yet. I'll probably be Affinity. It might be an Eldrazi variant. Depending on what my buddy does, maybe I'll just pick up Dredge and just hope to dodge Rest in Peace. Because my mentality has always been, I'm not going to a GP to cash necessarily. I'm going to shoot for the top eight of the win. Cashing, like if I wanted money, I would just not go play. Like that's the safer way to make sure I have money. And so I'm going to try to get to the Pro Tour. So with that mentality, I've always said to get to the top eight and to win a tournament, it takes a certain level of luck. Like you got to draw well, you got to run hot, you got to dodge your bad matchups. And there's a lot of bad matchups. So I might just play the one that's going to dodge the bad matchups the most. Because I don't know what I'm on, and it doesn't sound like Steven knows what we're on, our discussion of what decks do we want to face and what decks do we not want to face, I don't really know what I want to play and what I don't want to play against yet, because I don't know what I'm playing even. So I'm not sure if we can get much out of that, right? Do you have any decks that you know you don't want to play against?
I think in both versions, the two decks I'm selecting, Shadow's kind of rough. But this human deck can beat up on Shadow, if I'm not mistaken, because I can race it just a tad faster. It really depends on Shadow's removal. But anyway, I digress. Shadow and Tron, I think, are the problems. Not for Shoal, doesn't mind Tron, but Turns does.
Shadow, luckily Shadow is my experience with Affinity yesterday night. Shadow has moved a lot of their interaction spells out, like discard and counter spells, for more removal spells for these human decks. So that helps, I'm sure, because they're beating the crap out of my robots pretty effectively. I mean, I went 3-2 and like 4-1 or 3-2, 3-2, but man, it was the most frustrating situation in the world. Like, I was so angry. I looked at an opponent's graveyard at one point. He had Snapcaster Mage in play with two Fatal Pushes exiled. He had two Colgan's Commands, two other Fatal Pushes, two Lightning Bolts, and a Stubborn Denial in his graveyard. And I was like, this is turn six. Like, what all have you killed? Like, you've killed an Ornithopter just to kill the Ornithopter by now. Like, I don't really know what we're even hoping to have happen. It was infuriating. Welcome to my testing. I've been winning. I haven't gotten worse than 3-2, but I don't feel good about anything. None of it feels great.
That's just modern in general.
Yeah.
This is why I'm playing the troll deck if I get to go. I had been testing with I know Delver's not exactly a tier competitive deck at the moment, but Delver, Burn, Bant Eldrazi, and Eldrazitron. And I just had like something where I would take issue with how it was playing against certain matchups that, you know, it's like Tron or Storm or, you know, this deck or another, and I was just not happy with where things were at the moment. So I was like, I'll just make sure that people don't know what I'm doing until it's too late.
Win game one, try to find a way to win games two or three. That's why I'm leaning towards away from Lantern and towards the format's just so open. I want to play a deck that if my opponent stumbles, if things don't go right, if I get lucky, I'm going to win game one. And then I just have to find a way to win game two or three. That'd be great. I'd prefer that. Like, I want to make sure – I want to plant my flag on game ones, which is hard to do in this format. But that's my goal. The problem is you do that, so you choose a linear aggressive deck like Affinity, and you only play against the people who they plant their flag on, I'm not going to lose to Affinity game ones. And, like, and so you're sitting here pushing each other with these flags – and meanwhile, both of us aren't going to ever make any money or hit any top eights, but you've just ruined my very reasonable plan. Thanks, friend, with your main deck Ancient Grudges and so forth. Get out of here. Whatever. So, I don't know. I will be posting updates for my tournament progress on how it's going. I tried to in Denver. My phone service didn't work very well there. Hopefully, Oklahoma's a little bit better. If it works, I'm going to be posting about 15 to 45 second or so video blogs on Twitter after every round, say what I played against, say how it went, what did I feel about it, what went well, what went poorly, whether I win or lost. If it doesn't work, I'll just post tweet updates of my record. That said, if you're following me and you stop hearing my updates, it's because I died and I'm no longer alive for the tournament, and I will just saltily stop updating probably. But I will be doing my best to post videos and things like that, and I will share it to the EOT page as well. Steven, are you going to be keeping everybody informed, or are you going to be sitting back? I don't know, if you're going to turns every game, then you might not have a chance to.
Well, see, I'll take all five of those turns, and then turn four I'll do my little update, and then on turn five I'll be like, oh, okay, here we go, we'll finish the game.
That's good.
Yeah, no,
just at the beginning of every round, like, Judge, update. I need to take a bathroom break, and really just run in the hallway. All right, look, I totaled my peeing. They're starting to get worried because it's eight straight rounds, but I won this one. It was great. they're looking for me, I'll be back. It's just take off.
Well, so you laugh, but at GPLA a couple years ago, I went to turns 4 times, and the judges, oh, keep in mind, it's mostly due to like my opponents, like whenever they got a turn, they're like, as they're like shuffling the 2 lands in their hand or whatever, but not salty, it's okay. But anyway, the judges recognized me and they like started talking about me, and they're like, oh, you're the turns guy. Okay. And then they had to explain to each of my opponents that I could take all 5 turns and that the game would be a draw. There were some very unhappy people.
Oh yeah. Because that's a stupid rule. It's a dumb rule. And Magic Arena will fix that for us. So tie it back in full circle.
I did not know that, Steven, and that's fantastic.
Oh no.
Yep.
So, all right.
I've only done it like 3 times. Most of the times I get to that 5th turn, and if I know I'm just dead, I'll be like, yeah, you got it. Or I'll be like, hey, look, I got it. You know, yeah. I've only actually taken that draw 3 times.
Oh, gosh. So,
it's okay.
Moving on from Oklahoma, because it gives me an aneurysm, and it just makes me super frustrated even thinking about it. So, I'm actually at a point where I'd rather play Sealed, and I'm not a big Sealed player. So that's where we are.
No, get it out of here. No.
Welcome to my mind mentality right now.
Dallas and Houston crap.
I say it right now. Once those next limited GPs roll into Texas, I'm going to be super angry about those. I'm going to be angry about it no matter what happens. So don't worry about it. Like I said, I'm becoming a red mage. It's fine. But moving forward, I know we're wrapping up our show. We always are going to track our dearly departed, you know, rest his soul, former lead Mike, Alex. So who's got our update of what Alex has been up to recently? I know last week he was out in space checking on the Mars rover after reading Martian. What's he doing this week?
So I'm pretty sure he's infiltrating one of the secret bases from Unstable, but whether or not he's gone to the right base has yet to be determined.
What base do we think he's trying to head into?
I believe the Agents of Snake.
Oh,
no, Snake? I think he belongs to the Agents of Snake.
Ah, okay.
And he's trying to infiltrate another base. But maybe he got lost and accidentally infiltrated his own base.
Well, do we believe he actually belongs to that group, or they're just kind of letting him hang out?
Yeah, I mean, he is a pretty handy guy if we're referencing the card art here.
This is true, yeah.
I think it might be that like he pays them to, you know, hang out there. It's like they get to keep their lights on. He gets to pretend that he's a spy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
I think he's a full-fledged spy. That's why you give him too much credit.
I mean, look at all those ears and eyes. Yeah, definitely, most likely. So all right, well, we're going to wrap it up. With EOT Newsflash, we want to thank you for listening. Please share it if you enjoy it. Give us some feedback. You can find us on Facebook at EOT Newsflash. You can also find us on Twitter at EOT Newsflash. All real simple. You can follow us for streaming news of tournaments. We'll start trying to get better. The EOT page, sharing our individual things we're doing, as well as posting onto there whenever we have an event coming up or any of those things. You can find me at Busted Sleeves, so if you wanted to check my GP Oklahoma City Crash and Burn, I'll be posting it live there until I'm dead. Justin, where can they find you at?
At Justin Forkner, capital J, capital F.
All right, nice and simple. They also will know who they're talking to, real clean cut. I like to be anonymous and hidden, so you won't be seeing that. And Steven with like the luckiest hash, you know, at name in existence. What do we got?
We got at S Spell Pierce. So there's 2 S's there.
I can't tell you. Every time I hear your Twitter handle, I always wish that you would be like a green Stompy fan. And so like you just begrudgingly
took
it's this.
It's just rage.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. You're begrudging like, oh, stupid blue counterspell. But sadly, this fits you, so it works.
I've been fitting. If I ever don't know what the 15th card in my sideboard is, I'm just like, Spell Pierce.
You just put it in there.
Yeah, just Spell Pierce.
I'm on like green, red, smash, and like, oh, I'll throw a Spell Pierce in there. It's fine. I've got a single Aether Hub. Everything's great.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So after Oklahoma, we'll be able to talk about how we do and give a breakdown. Follow again EOT Newsflash on Twitter. You can follow us individually: Busted Sleeves, S Spell Pierce, Justin Fortner. We'll give updates from everybody who's able to get there. But with us at EO2 News Flash and Flipside Gaming, thank you very much. And Steven, the honor is yours.
Let's do it again.